to yet another edition of the Kentucky 15, your UK news, recaps, and storylines brought to you in 15 minutes or less. No fluff, no wasted time, and nothing off topic. This is 15 minutes or less of what you need to know about the current state of Kentucky basketball. Listen here on Spotify or on Apple Podcasts and follow me on Twitter at the Kentucky 15. Okay, here we go. Clock starts now. Today's episode of the Kentucky 15 is another special topic. We have the SEC tournament, and not probably what you think, okay? Yes, obviously we all know the SEC tournament exists to give an automatic bid to the SEC tournament winner, right? The only chance Kentucky has of going to the NCAA tournament this year is to win the SEC tournament. We all know that. That's obvious. I'm here today to do a more underlying importance of the SEC tournament, okay? So, let's be very clear, okay? The Cats have not won four games in a row all season. They have to win four games in a row to win the SEC tournament. So they've got to do something they haven't done yet this year, okay? No matter, I'm here to support the Cats. I'm here to root for them each and every single game. But for this episode, we need to discuss the more underlying importance of the tournament. This is the last chance for our players to really show out, to get film, to impact their NBA or their pro stock, okay? The SEC tournament could make or break the NBA decision for some of these guys. So let's dive in and take a deeper look at what I mean. We're going to start with BJ Boston, okay? So according to NBA mock drafts, you know, there's several out there. The highest he's currently projected is number 16. But he's all the way down to right around number 28, number 29, okay? He has shown flashes. We've seen that, okay? He's had some games where he's shot the ball really well. He's had some games where he's finishing the paint really well. But there has been no consistency, okay? So could he turn in a couple games in the SEC tournament, shooting the ball well, being strong with the ball, playing through contact? If he does, I think he's gone, okay? There's been a lot of chatter lately about the possibility of a sophomore season. Maybe he improves the draft stock like PJ Washington did his sophomore year, or maybe he improves draft stock and his SEC player of the year like Emmanuel Quickley was his sophomore year. I'll be honest, I think a lot of this final decision to go pro or not is going to play out in the SEC tournament this week, okay? He's got a chance to have a really good game against Mississippi State. He's got a chance to show out against the SEC champs after that. Can he turn in a couple good games? We'll see. But again, there's enough chatter out there, and you know, we can all kind of dissect what Calipari said in his press conference, where he kind of mentions BJ Boston in the same breath as PJ and Quickley. Does that mean something? Does that mean the decision's already been made? Does that mean they're having that conversation? Again, I think these next couple games are big in really deciding whether he's going to come back or whether he's going to continue on as planned to the NBA. Next player that the SEC tournament really is important to is Isaiah Jackson, okay? He's actually the player that I was most confident leaves for the NBA because I think we can all see his ceiling, right? I think we can all see that raw ability he has. I don't really see that with BJ Boston. You know, I know he had a great high school career, but at the college level, he's really struggled, and he doesn't really seem like he has that fourth gear, that fifth gear where he can really take over. We see that with Isaiah Jackson, right? And we see his numbers are on par with Nerlens and Anthony Davis and Willie Cauley and guys like that, okay? So I was actually pretty confident that he would leave early for the NBA. He just has such a high ceiling. He's got so many intangibles and raw ability that I really think NBA GMs will absolutely take a chance on. They will roll the dice on Isaiah Jackson. But here's what's strange. You can find him at number 20, at number 29. You can even find him not even ranked in the first round or placed on mock drafts. There's enough doubt that maybe he has a chance to come back. Again, there's enough doubt that he might not be ready, that he might return for another year. Will it happen? Who knows, okay? But again, a few solid games here in the SEC tournament and he's gone, right? If he can continue showing that mid-range jumper, if he can knock down shots at the free throw line, obviously, if he can keep showing out on the defensive end, blocking shots, switching, guarding multiple positions, sprinting the floor, if he can do that, you know, if he can get a couple more positive game films, then I think he's gone, okay? Obviously, BJ Boston and Isaiah Jackson, they're going to do the combine no matter what, right? They're going to do the whole process no matter what. But again, you know, maybe you have a few games here, one game, two games, three games in the SEC tournament where he struggles, where he can't score, right? Where maybe he gets abused on the defensive end. Maybe other teams keep him off the boards. if that happens again, maybe that is enough, you know, enough doubt to bring him back for another year of development. Another player I see here is Keon Brooks. You won't find him on any mock drafts. He just hasn't impressed enough. Let's be honest. He just has not impressed enough. He doesn't have a clear role at the next level. He definitely doesn't shoot the ball well enough to be a 3-and-D kind of guy, right? He definitely doesn't dominate, you know, from an aggressive standpoint to really get to the rim and live at the free throw line. He's not any kind of stud defensive player, okay? So I'm sure he'll go through the process, and I'm sure he'll do the combines. I'm sure he'll meet with the GMs. But again, I still think he needs more game film. I think he needs game film that shows consistency, right? Sure, we have seen a couple flashes here and there, but those flashes are hard. I mean, they're not even close to a dominating, you know, dominating performance, okay? So he's had some games where he's got 12, 14 points, but he hasn't dominated, okay? I think as of now, he's back next year, and hopefully he looks to make that Nick Richards third-year jump. But again, if he has two or three solid games in the SEC tournament, it might give him the temptation to jump like Ashton Hagans or to jump like Deron Lamb or to jump like Dakari Johnson, where it's still a little surprising when they go it. There's a lot of doubt and there's a lot of uncertainty, but they still feel confident enough to make that leap, okay? Now, the only other player I really see, you know, worth discussing here as far as the SEC tournament is really of value is Dante Allen. Okay, if Dante continues to struggle to get minutes, if he continues to struggle to get off the bench during these games, I think there's going to be enough reason and enough issues within the program for him to transfer or at least enter the portal. Coach Cal has to bring in shooters next year, and you guys have all heard the rumors surrounding Justin Powell, you know, Covington Catholic grad. You know, he's at Auburn right now, and he has entered the transfer portal, and I'm sure Kentucky is going to reach out. You got C.J. Frederick from Iowa. Again, I am sure, C.J. Frederick from Covenant Catholic. I am sure that there will be others mentioned as well. So you got shooters that are, you know, there's a lot of rumors swirling around that they're maybe coming to Kentucky next year, right? Maybe even Mintz returns for another year, and there's another good shooter on the roster. If any of those have truth to it, then how does Dante Allen have a role on next year's team? I think Cal needs to show Dante some love. I think he needs to try to, you know, use this time to try to develop him and to show that he has plans for him. Or I think Allen bounces. If he can't get enough meaningful minutes this year on a team that not only struggles to win, but struggles to score and struggles to shoot, then I just don't see how he's back next year. Now, that's a choice for him, you know. Maybe it's like a Derek Willis. Maybe it's like a Dominique Hawkins where he is committed to the program and his family doesn't want him to move on. And this is a dream plan for Kentucky, and he is absolutely dedicated to sticking it out. And I hope that's the case. I really do. And I really hope that Calipari starts to play him. I think Dante needs to play more. Of course he has deficiencies in his game, right? But how else do you develop him? I mean, you have allowed Devin Askew to play through, you know, struggle after struggle, BJ Boston to play after struggles. And you've done that, you know, for a lot of players throughout their time at Kentucky. You can do that the same way for the best shooter, set shooter on the team and Dante Allen. If you don't, then I don't see how Kentucky can blame him for pulling a Johnny Juzang or pulling a Quade Green or pulling a Jamal Baker, right? To where they go off to a different, you know, situation, a better scenario in which they can be used the way they feel comfortable being used. Now, if UK loses to Mississippi State, and I think you can make a good case for more players to return than not. If they lose Mississippi State, then I just don't see how they've really accomplished much, not only as a team, but individually as well. So going into that, you know, again, you got BJ Boston, you got Isaiah Jackson, you got Keon Brooks. So if they're one and done, right, if we lose to Mississippi State and we get bounced, I think they've left so much doubt in the minds of GMs and scouts that I just don't know if they'll go. Again, because it's not just that, you know, they didn't meet expectations. It's been that they're wildly inconsistent, right, and that they have such, you know, stark deficiencies to their game that it's a gamble, right? It is an absolute gamble. I think they've left, if they are one and done here with Mississippi State, I think they've left a lot of doubt in the minds of GMs and scouts. Now, you win a couple games in the SEC tournament, and if Boston or Brooks or Jackson, if they play well in those, now I think they're making a case for professional contracts that might be guaranteed. They might hear what they want to hear, right? All three of these guys have struggled to be consistent, and that's, you know, that's going to be a big knock from pro scouts. Is they're really going to question their their consistency, okay? But scouts might forgive that lack of consistency if they end the season playing well, if they end the season showing more flashes of potential than doubt, if they can end the season showing growth, showing development, then all three or any combination could be gone, okay? It's a big week for the Cats. I mean, the automatic and only potential bid for the Cats is on the line, but so is a great deal of potential production for the Cats roster next year. I can't wait to watch. Okay, I'm going to be pulling for them. Every win is basically the Super Bowl for the Cats this year. It's basically their NCAA tournament. So I can't wait to watch. I can't wait to support them. Okay, and we'll see how it all unfolds. We will. Okay, as always, please like, subscribe, share. A rating, a review goes a long way, right? So if you guys can do that, I appreciate it. And as always, go Cats.